There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Drive Live Talks Automotive this afternoon. We have two guests joining us here in the Dubai Eye studios. And they are...
Drive Live Talks Automotive.
Sounds better on a Thursday than on a Wednesday, that,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, Tim managed to play it yesterday when we were talking about tech.
Just like it. makes an appearance, you know. Britta Lang's here, Technical Director, Evaluation Education at E4 Consultants. Nice to see you, Britta.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. And Phil Clark is back as well, Director of Road Safety and Enforcement at E4 Consultants. Phil, good to see you too.
And you. Okay.
Good to have you here. We're going to talk about child safety. We were just talking, though, a few moments ago about electric vehicles to Ben Pullen. The electric vehicle road trip has just rolled into Ras Al Khaimah. They'll be here in Dubai tomorrow. Big advances made in electric cars, Phil, but, you know, are they a stopgap to the hydrogen car? I don't know. The jury's kind of out, isn't it?
I think the jury is out, yes. Mm. But, yeah, certainly you're right. There's great steps been taken, and it's come a long way in a few years. We were just, as you know, discussing whether or not the heat is likely to affect them here, as batteries are not that keen on heat. And we've still got the issue of the price of the vehicles that needs to be dealt with. But that seems to be coming down gradually as the technology evolves.
Well, it is, because they've got Teslas here. Teslas are expensive at the moment. The Model 3 may change that as Tesla gear up and get to a point where production is on a scale that, you know, perhaps they can produce enough vehicles and then the price will come down. But they're also driving the Chevrolet Bolt, the EV Bolt, which is hopefully, Britta, going to make a difference. But it is still the case at the moment. A hybrid vehicle is, you know, pound for pound, dirham for dirham, a little bit more than a similar petrol engine car, and that puts people off.
Sure, but I think there's also something that governments can do about sort of giving incentives and subsidies for electric vehicles, and various governments in Europe have tested that. So free parking or preferred parking for electric vehicles and so forth. And I think so you can push the population or encourage them to adopt new vehicle technology that way.
And Phil, I guess the question from your perspective is going to be, how safe are they? Are they as reliable as petrol cars or diesel cars that we come to know?
Yeah, I think you were talking about range anxiety earlier on, and I think now that is starting to be dealt with, the issue that people have of breaking down or suddenly finding themselves in limp mode on the road is starting to be overcome. In terms of their overall safety, yeah, we know battery technology has some safety issues with it, but that seems to be being dealt with in the airline industry. There's no reason why it shouldn't be dealt with within the automotive industry.
Well, we'll see how the trip went. I'm going to go down tomorrow afternoon. They're at Sustainable City when they drive in. There's a big kind of arrival ceremony and family day. You're here to talk about child safety, though, and it's because of this kind of an update, really. It's 7 months now since new federal laws were enacted to provide more protection for children in vehicles. We also have, of course, the seatbelt law. It's been almost a softly approach in the first phase with the police to make sure that the awareness is there. Mm-hmm. People are doing it. It's a 400 dirham fine, 4 black points for every child or person in a car who aren't buckled up. Children in car seats, of course. But just initial thoughts, and can I start with you, Britta, here? Mm-hmm. Still, I suppose we see children in the front of cars not buckled up. Mm-hmm. I have to be honest, I'm seeing that a little bit less, which I guess is a good thing. But how much is the message really getting across?
That's an open question at the moment. And I think sort of that would need a proper study, an observation study, to sort of compare how the rates of people not using a seatbelt or a car seat with their children is comparing to before and after the introduction of the law. It's certainly true that it's good practice that when you introduce legislation that you give people a little bit of time to get their head around it, whilst you run awareness campaigns to familiarise them with a new law, with a new practice, with the enforcement that's going to come into place. But then at some point you also need to start to the enforcement activities to ensure that people really respond. Now, I've only seen, when I sort of had a look at the internet, I've only seen newspaper reports to say the sales miles in car seats have gone up since the introduction of the law, and so forth. And anecdotal evidence that we have from everyday observations may suggest that it's gone down a little, but we need a proper study to evaluate that.
Mm. What about you, Phil? What are your thoughts?
Well, very similar, really. I think the only problem we've also got, and I know I've mentioned this before, is the fact that at the same time that they introduced this law, they allowed darker tinting of windows to take place as well. So the anecdotal, you know, what do you see when you're out and about, is a bit tricky, really, because you can see into fewer vehicles and you don't know what's going on inside those vehicles. I would like to see the casualty statistics as well, but I haven't seen any published. And like Britta, I'm dependent upon what you pick up in the newspapers. But we're still seeing too many fatal accidents, serious accidents involving children in cars. And whether or not they were in seat child seats or not, I don't know.
And Britta, you know, this is something that I'm still struggling to get my head around a little bit. I guess where I came from, the policy always was you had to buckle up wherever you sat in the car. It wasn't a case of no seatbelts in the back seat, whereas I was travelling on holiday recently and there were no seatbelts in the cars. Mm-hmm. And that was perfectly legal in that country. Mm-hmm. But what is the sort of thinking behind this? Is it that parents don't understand how important it is for seatbelts, or is it sort of an arrogance that people think it'll never happen to me?
That's a good question, and I think sort of different reasons apply to, or different reasoning applies to different people. Certainly, a lot of them may just not be aware of the safety benefits that seatbelts and car seats have. They just kind of, I think sort of there's an ongoing thought in people's mind that if the car has to brake, if you slam on the brakes, that they'll be able to support themselves in the case of an accident, that they'll be able to hold themselves in place. And I think that's just sort of an ignorance of physics of a crash, where you are absolutely not able to deal with the forces that you are exposed to, and certainly your child isn't. And I think that is a matter for raising awareness and continuing to explain, to demonstrate, to let people experience what it is like, sort of in a safe environment with a seatbelt.
There's a sled
that where you can feel those forces. But then there's, of course, practical problems as well, as in if you've got many children and you've only got one car, how many car seats can you actually fit into the children? Mm. And then there's even societal things, societal values that sometimes suggest to us that the safest place for a baby is in its mother's arms. And it's definitely not true. The safest place for a baby is in the baby seat in the car. Mm. But these are things that will take a lot of time to and effort to change.
They will. In Dubai, the main goal of the amended law is, and we've heard from Major General Saif Al-Zafin from Dubai Police on this, here's what he said: reducing mortality down to 3 deaths per 100,000. The current level is 6.1 per 100,000, according to Dubai Police. Last year, the UAE saw 725 road accident deaths. The idea is to cut that drastically, of course. And here's the law: every person travelling in a vehicle must wear a seatbelt or use a child safety seat. Child seats are mandatory for children aged 4 and under, and for all passengers, including rear seat passengers and the front seat passenger. Minimum height is 145 centimetres or the age of 10. However that works. And that's the guidelines. You see that printed on car seats, don't you? Question is, why we're not all following that and why we don't get the message. What more needs to be done? What would you like to see done, Phil? Do we need a massive awareness campaign? Do we need billboards on Sheikh Zayed Road? Do we need super strict enforcement? Do we need police at every traffic light? What's the answer?
I'm not sure we need police at every traffic light, but probably all the aforementioned. Right. Yes, you do need the campaigns, but is absolutely right. The law's been in 6 months now. Some really high-profile campaigns, radio, TV, billboards, all of that sort of thing are excellent. And then that needs to be supported by good enforcement, robust enforcement, but highly publicised enforcement, and then publicise the results afterwards. And then go back to your awareness campaigns and keep it as a cycle.
Phil Clark is from E4 Consultants, as is Britta Lang. We're talking child safety in vehicles. Here's a question for you if you're driving at the moment. If you're not driving at the moment, have you got your belt on? text us in if you have, text us in if you haven't. We'll keep it anonymous, but it will be interesting to see. And if you have got your belt on, do you wear it? Is it the first thing you do before you set off in the car, or are you sometimes a little bit lax? Be honest, be anonymous.
This is Drive Live. Get in touch with the show.
Text us on 4001.
It's Drive Live, and it is Drive Live Talks Automotive this afternoon.
Drive Live Talks Automotive.
And we have two guests, Britta Lang and Phil Clark from E4 Consultants. Child safety in vehicles. I just put a question out there. Sue came back first and said, growing up, we didn't need to wear seatbelts. Education, enforcement, and some brutal adverts on TV made people aware. I always wear mine. Fine, it's taken a long time to drill that home to people, Phil, hasn't it? And it's going to take time wherever you are in the world.
Yes, we were just discussing that, and I think Dubai is a new society. It's really multicultural. You've got people from, 200 odd different nationalities here. Yeah. And it's going to take a long time, really, to get to the same sort of level that we were at in the West when we first introduced seatbelts. So it will take time, but it does need the relentless pressure, the campaigns, the enforcement, and the will to actually bring about the behavioural changes.
I was just talking to you both, saying I was recently away, and in Cuba there was no such policy on seatbelts. In Jamaica there's a poster on every roadside, because the belief, like you said, Britta, was that if anything happened in an accident, you know, I've got hold of my kids, I can keep them safe. Do you think there is an air of people still feeling like, in terms of child safety, I as a parent know best, it doesn't matter what I'm being told?
That might very well be the case, I think. And as a parent, of course, you're super motivated to keep your child safe. And you are, and I think this is a really important group that we need to communicate with more. And you shared that initiative from Sharjah with us the other day, that where child seats were given out at hospitals to young parents. And I think that is a fabulous moment of introducing child seats to those parents and making it clear to them that now is the time where they need to protect that little baby going forward. But I think it's also really important that in addition to giving out a child seat, that you also give information on the correct use, because very often people may take it home, they might put it in corner, so unless they're comfortable in using it correctly, it's not quite there.
A correct use is a question I wanted to ask, actually, because there are baby seats, there are car seats, there are booster seats, and the instructions are always on there. But is there, loosely, or even can we drill down and look at exactly what car seats should be used for, what age, what height, what weight? Mm. Is there a set of generally accepted regulations?
So the regulations, I think the important thing is the weight of the child.
Right.
So because age, I mean, children develop slightly differently, so it's the weight that determines what child seat you should be using, and the height to some degree as well. And there's a lot of help on that online, sort of, but there's different groups of child seats which are categorized by weight, and that's group zero to group three, where you have a booster seat, so that's the last stage before you then start to sit by yourself. And then of course we've got the question of rear facing and forward facing, particularly for the really young children, for the babies. And it's fair to say that use rear facing for as long as possible, because those seats protect the baby better in terms of its spine, its head, and internal injuries. So that's a very quick and dirty way of talking about it.
I mean, I can get that. I mean, you do need to look at the weight of your child. You need to work that out, obviously. Somebody texts into us now, Mike, who's on Mohammed bin Zayed Road. What about child seats on the front seat? On the passenger front seat.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do that, then if it's rear facing, then you need to deactivate the airbag on that side. That's really important. It's okay to put them there, but they do need to be fitted correctly, and that's a really important issue.
We've had a couple of texts in about, I know that in lots of countries they do this, scary TV adverts about seatbelts. Mark's texted and said, why don't they use shock tactics? They do it very well in South Africa with great effect. Someone else with no name says, we don't have enough of those scary TV ads. In Northern Ireland, for example, they have a real history of strong graphic adverts that show what happens if you don't wear a seatbelt, whether you're in the front of a car, the rear of a car, or if you're walking down the street. Do you think that's something that could be done a bit more here?
That's an interesting question, and we had a debate with the RTA about that some time ago, where what kind of adverts should be used and are socially acceptable. And I think sort of the very graphic adverts have proven to be effective in some countries, but it's you can't generalize it, and I think there are sort of some principles that you need to pay attention to when using them. So, because people very often can get scared and then switch off to the message altogether because they just don't want to see it. So there are certain conditions under which those adverts can be effective, and I think you want to do something, you want to use adverts that are culturally sensitive and appropriate. So if there's some groups in the population that find that really difficult to deal with or offensive, I can understand why, for example, the RTA hasn't taken the approach of using such adverts in the past.
Oh, you can see that, but I mean, you have to, in the end, you have to face up to the fact, don't you, and find a way of getting the message across that if you have a child on the front seat, a baby in your arms on the front seat, and you do have to slam on your brakes at 80 kilometers an hour, your baby is no longer your baby. Your baby becomes a missile. And it's very hard to get that through to people. I don't know how you do that. I don't even know if we should be sensitive about that. I wonder what the best approach is, because we all want our children to be safe. And if you're holding a child in the front seat and they're not buckled in some way, they're not safe. That's bad parenting, wherever you're from. I don't know how you get that message across. I find that frustrating. Phil, what would you say?
Well, I think the problem with this is that we all have different styles of learning. We all have our own preferred way of learning things and taking in information. And I think Britta's right. You know, that those messages, those hard-hitting messages, the graphic ones, work for some people, but they don't work for others. Mm. Some people want something that's a little bit more soft but more emotional. Perhaps rather than than so graphic, and I think when you're doing these campaigns, you need to have a mixed approach to doing it, so that you get to the audience. You know, some people learn by looking at things, some people learn by listening to things, and it's exactly the same with campaigns and so on.
I think one really good way of demonstrating can be videos of crash tests. Mm. So where you see dummies and you see the vehicle being crashed and you see what happens to the dummies within the vehicle. So you get an idea of the force of the crash and the forces that are exerted on the passengers in the vehicle. But it's not not as sensitive as to the audience.
No, and it's not realistic either. So everybody knows that a crash test dummy is a crash test dummy in controlled circumstances, and not necessarily going to think that replicates exactly what's going to happen when they're holding their 6-month-old baby in their lap. So I think it is a tricky one, and there needs to be a real mixed approach to it.
I mean, I learned in quite a selfish way. When I first passed my test, I would make sure everyone in the back had their seatbelt fastened because I wouldn't want them to kill me if anything happened. So I was being quite selfish and said, make sure everyone's got their seatbelt on. Of course, I was concerned about their safety, but I was quite concerned about mine. But we've heard about the Sharjah Child Safety Campaign, and that's a fantastic initiative. Mm-hmm. But Syed's text in with the sort of opposite end of the scale. He says, I'm all for child safety, but once this law was passed, prices for car seats went through the roof. Price regulation is required, so undue advantage is not taken by retailers. So that's kind of the opposite end of the spectrum. Once this becomes policy, is it then still affordable for every person to be able to go out and get one?
Yes, there should be a sufficient supply, and I wasn't aware that the prices had gone up. I was only aware that the sales had increased. But of course, child seats should be affordable. They should be, of course, also crash tested, so they are of sufficient. They perform as expected in the test. In a crash, and there are different products out there in the market which require some consumer awareness of how they should work.
Well, we have a federal law now, 7 months since the federal law was enacted. The data is something we'd like to look at. Maybe we'll get you guys in when we do have some data to kind of crunch and hopefully analyse. For now, that's Drive Live Talks Automotive today. Britta Lang, Phil Clark from E4 Consultants in studio talking child safety. Guys, thank you for coming in. Appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.